Welcome to the Mom Forum. I am your host, Alicia Wilson Beach. I am birth mom of three, adoptive mom of one, and stepmom to four. Yes, you counted that right. That is eight kids. And over the years, I have been known to completely overshare my story of motherhood. And I started this podcast to be able to share the common and maybe not so common experiences of motherhood from women of all walks of life. So thank you for joining me for these intimate mom-to-mom conversations following each of my guests' journey through motherhood. These stories are honest and vulnerable. There's a little bit of humor and a whole lot of relatability. And my hope is that you can see yourself in one of these stories and know that you are absolutely not alone in this crazy journey through motherhood. I am so happy to have you as a listener of the Mom Forum podcast. And if you would like to further support us, you can become a patron of ours. Just visit us at patreon.com/themomforum, and you can support us with a monthly subscription at the $3 level, $5, or $7. It's just a tiny monthly payment that will add up to a ton of support here for the work that we do at the Mom Forum. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and please share these episodes. And if you could take a moment, we would love to hear a review and your thoughts on the Mom Forum podcast. Today, I am sitting down with Annie Vovan, and she has such an interesting and inspirational story. She is the youngest of seven from a Vietnamese immigrant family, and she shares how she succumbed to the pressure of her parents and went to pharmacy school so she could become a pharmacist and work in their family pharmacy. However, she is a self-described multi-passionate serial entrepreneur, and she was just not passionate about being a pharmacist. And she eventually got married and wanted to pursue photography, which was one of her passions. And then she got pregnant and she had two babies. And after several what many may call life coincidences, but I believe she sees them as life lessons. And then she lost three people very close to her. And that really, really pushed her to dive head first to pursue her passion. And now she is making every attempt to keep pursuing that passion and live her best life. And I really hope that you find her story as inspirational and as interesting, so interesting, as I did. Enjoy. Hi, Annie. Welcome to the show.
This is Delight. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you drove way across LA.
Okay, listen, I'll take an hour to do my own, like, listening to other podcasts and just being in my own space without toddlers. So thank you for that.
I know.
I was like, oh, cool. Over an hour. This is great. This is going to be great.
People ask me all the time, do you mind driving? I'm like, are you kidding me? No, because either I have the car to myself or my children are strapped down and they can't bother me.
Yes, we are strapped down. Yes, for sure.
And we got the magical TVs in our car. So I just play that and listen to podcasts.
There you go. There you go.
Up in my own space.
Yeah, you have to. That reminds me of something I saw about, there was this meme about not judging, you know, what you see at face value, right? Like, next time you see a mom with a child at a restaurant with their phone, you know, you never know when her last meal was. Not last meal. That's really
well, that's true, too.
You never know when her last hot meal was.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, yeah, you just, hey, man, you just don't know. So I'll take an hour to myself in the car with their media thing going on the back.
Yeah, because you've been running around being engaged all day long and
it's
a moment to breathe. So tell us who you're mom to.
So I have two kids. Max is my firstborn. He's 5 and a half and Avery is my little girl and she's 3 and a half. And I know we talked about maybe talking about having a third, but you never know. You never know. I do want to say to your listeners that I did have my kids older So for those of you who are struggling, I had Max when I was 39.
Okay.
I had Avery when I was 41. And no real intervention at all. I mean, literally hooked up maybe once that month, and mm-hmm. they both happened that way. So there is, like, don't let people tell you that you're too old to have kids.
And was that a choice or just life was happening?
Life was happening. We didn't meet. I didn't meet my husband until I was 35. I want to say 36. I'm not even sure anymore. But I didn't get married till 36 or 37. Oh, I should know better. and so, you know, in your 20s, you think you're going to meet the man mm-hmm. and, you know, spit out some kids before 30. But that didn't happen. And, you know, it's one of those things where I had a lot of life before kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't crave a lot of the things that I think my friends who had younger kids crave. Although at the same time, I look and I think, you know, I'm going to be so much older when they finish, you know, their seasons of life. So I think, you know, whatever the universe has planned is what we got.
Yeah. Well, there's balance because as an older mom, you can make much more mature decisions. I think you're a lot more relaxed in general because you understand the bigger picture a little bit more the older you get.
And absolutely.
So you give up the high energy, still being young, having kids for a different approach to mothering.
For sure. I think about when I went to my 10-year high school reunion. And what are you at, 28, late 20s, right? Mm-hmm. And at that time, you still feel like you got something to prove, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember I brought this guy I was dating who was such a jerk, and I just brought him for the sake of having someone there. And then I remember I went to my 20-year high school reunion, and everyone was just like, I've been in jail, I've been divorced. And everyone was like, bring it in. Like, we're all just trying to go through life. And there's no front, I think, at the end of your 30s. And I mean, I've enjoyed my 40s for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would, but it's just, you're just more comfortable. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hitting 40 in just a few days.
Amazing.
And
yeah, how are you feeling about that?
I feel good. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm like, I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to pretend for anybody. And I'm in a real growing phase, too, for me.
Yeah.
Like, I've grown as a mother, and that'll continue to happen. But I feel like I've hit a phase of focusing on me that I never did before.
You're able just to trim the fat in all aspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what I really enjoy.
What becomes important gets smaller and smaller
mm-hmm.
and richer. And richer, I think.
That was deep, girl. That needs to be on the t-shirt.
I'm gonna put this on the t-shirt.
That was good.
What was life like before kids? You were working. What were you up to?
Yeah, so we're an immigrant family. So I'm the youngest of seven.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, I married my husband, who was also the youngest of seven.
Oh, wow.
So imagine our first date where it's like, I'm thinking I'm like the cool person because that's always so interesting.
Yes.
It's like, so am I. I was like, damn it. So I'm the youngest of seven. We had two sets of twins in the family. And so my mom had seven kids within 8 years.
Whoa.
So by the time we fled, we were Vietnamese. So I was born in Vietnam and we fled during the fall of Saigon. So we immigrated here. I was 8 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my parents just put their heads down and worked. So it took a good amount. Compared to my husband's family, I would say it took a little bit of easier time for my parents to get on their feet. They were professionals in Vietnam. So my dad was a physician. My mom was a pharmacist. So when we came over, you know, last minute, really, you don't really prepare to leave your country.
Yeah.
Like, literally gold in our shoes and nothing. Like, no photo albums, obviously nothing. We just fleeting and fled the country. My dad worked as a gardener for a number of years before he had to, like, redo his residency over. My mom actually didn't become a pharmacist again until I was in junior high. So there was a lot of growth in that. Like, you know, we went to refugee camps. We were sponsored by a couple different families to get on our feet. And so this really brings in motherhood because I was raised in a cross-cultural setting. So I still find it interesting to talk to my mom about where my mindset is now as a 44-year-old, you know, Asian-American person versus the ways of the olden days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you don't speak out of turn, you respect your elders, you know, you follow your parents' advice through and through, you don't question anything. My mom even is not a fan of Elsa because she listens to the music. She's like, I don't care what people say. She's like, this is not good. Like, no, children. She's really mad about that. She's real mad at Moana because Moana goes off, you know? I mean, I was not allowed to listen to, or watching Happy Days because she thought Fonzie was, like, not a good person because, you know, he's now his fingers in a Wonder Woman, right? So I grew up very much with this sense, this tension, because I wanted to respect what parents did for us.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm in America, right?
Yeah.
Where there's things that happen, like prom and things that they have no clue about.
Mm-hmm.
So before kids, I feel like being the seventh child, my parents got a little less strict as I went on. But at the same time, you know, school was very, very important. And how I ended up where I ended up was, it was really out of wanting to make sure that I was like the what's that word I'm looking for? The child that was very obedient,
mm-hmm.
right? So I became
mm-hmm.
a pharmacist because of that desire to really make sure I don't upset them, like, you know, like not to fight back on what they wanted for us. So yeah, that was a little bit of life before kids, being a pharmacist and a career that really wasn't the best available me. It was kind of just out of obligation. That's what I'm like, what is
yeah, no.
obligation? And yeah, so I worked in corporate for a good 12 years. 10 of it was in management because that fit my personality a little bit
mm-hmm.
more. And then, yeah, I did some side hustling in different entrepreneurial ventures at that time. And then when I became a mom, I decided to go all in on the one that made the most sense was photography.
Mm-hmm.
So before I became a mom, that's where I was pivoting to that. So that's why that's how I kind of met you as well.
Yes.
I was able to do your photos this year in Austin. So, yeah.
And was photography just like a hobby for you that started making a little side money? Or how did that happen?
So that happened because while I was in college, I was involved in a nonprofit. And I've always loved kids. And so I was in a nonprofit for children with development disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like grassroots, like through and through. We were broke. Everyone did 10 jobs. And so it came time to do our annual fundraising to scholarship our kids to be able to come to the camp for the week. And so we literally sat around the table and was like, why don't you take pictures? And it literally just fell in my lap. It was very organic. It was nothing to do with any kind of skill set. It was just literally a change of hats. And so I did. And I would just be a photojournalist, you know,
mm-hmm.
around our camp that year so we could, you know, promote what we're offering, which was really a nice break for parents because not knowing what we were doing at that young age, and like, you know, I was 19 years old when I started, I see it now. And we did a lot for these parents because they would drop off their child with a group of, you know, there was a physician on staff and there was, you know, a nurse. And they would come back after this week of camp and just give us the biggest hugs. And they were like, because their children were usually low functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't bathe themselves. They were like
wow.
in a wheelchair. They were either, they had Down syndrome and cerebral palsy and blind. Like they
mm-hmm.
were just, they were low functioning children. And so the parents would come back and they'd just give you these big hugs. And they would say, I got to go see a movie with my husband because I knew my child was in good hands. Or I got to do laundry. And you know, you're 20 years old, you're like, cool, you know, we had fun, you know, but now
yeah.
I look at it and I was like, we did some good work there. So when I was in that space, I became the camp photographer and it took about 1 or 2 years where the staff was like, you do a good job at this. And I was in graduate school to be a pharmacist and they gifted me my first camera. It was film, like we're talking back in the day, girl, right? Film and going to Moto Photo
oh,
and dropping
wow.
things off. Yeah, so this was the days of Craigslist and maybe internet with a modem.
Beep, beep.
Yeah, all that. So that's how I started. And it was like just a side hustle at first. I was on Craigslist and even then I really enjoyed marketing, as this will parlay into what I'm doing now. Even then I recognized that brides loved photos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started marketing myself as a secondary photojournalist at your wedding. So I'll say, if it's cool with your main photographer, I'll show up. You don't have to pay me anything. And I'll produce. And if you like it, you could buy it. That's it. Like, there was
that's
no
a great
risk.
Idea, yeah.
yeah. And 100% of the time, they bought everything.
Yeah.
So that's how I built my portfolio. And then as I aged, then, you know, my client base ate. Like, I aged like I was really old. But, you know, like, friends kept getting married and they
yeah.
started having families. So I started my family photography more. And then when I became a mom, my son had a medical condition, so he was allergic to... Have you had an allergy mom on here yet?
No, I have a really good friend who's an allergy mom. So,
yeah.
And her daughter actually travels a lot without her. So she's older now, so it's not, she knows, but yeah, she's got EpiPens everywhere.
Yeah. So for you allergy moms out there, like I feel you. It's an invisible situation where, you know, it's not obvious what you have to do to look out for your child. So when my firstborn was 7 months old, I'll never forget, we went to this little swim party. A friend was like, hey, does he want to try a little yogurt chip? It was like, you know, in the days of first foods, he had one, and we went to the ER, only to find out later he was like anaphylactic, really allergic to dairy, eggs, nuts, sesame, avocado.
Oh my goodness.
So it was like
every food a kid would eat at that age.
Yeah. And so that was a really traumatic time in the sense that you don't know what the heck is going on. And even as a pharmacist, I had given out EpiPens like all the time, but when it's your own child, you're just like, you know, this is really, really scary. And so it forced us to have a decision on what was going to happen. So at the time, I was weaning off of being a full-time manager. Once I met my husband, I was going to launch a photography studio, funny enough. And we decided that we would see if my photography could just be the source of income that I needed to contribute. And so, yeah, it was out of necessity where I then created more of a business. But I'd have to say, looking back now, I don't think it's become more of a real, like legit business until about 4 years ago. Although I've been in the space, in the online business space for about 14 years, I would say treating it like a real business through and through once my daughter was born. Because that's when I was like, okay, I'm not going to be going back to the pharmacy. I want to create a way to stay home with them, yet still provide income. And that's what we did when we toured my son to go to a daycare event. He walked out in hives just because it was to the touch.
Oh my goodness.
I drank milk and I kissed him, he'd have hives. So he was very sensitive. But for you allergy mamas listening, there is hope because now he's only allergic to nuts. He outgrew the dairy and the eggs and the sesame, avocado. He can eat ice cream till the cows come home. So thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
But the first 3 years of having a kid like that made it really, when I look back, it was very anxiety provoking,
yeah.
right?
Because
every play date, every restaurant, every recipe had to be screened and very limited on who's going to take care of your kid because people were intimidated.
Yeah. Well, it's also my 8-year-old, who was my firstborn, was born with a heart condition, but he didn't get surgery until he was 8 months old. He was diagnosed at 3 months. So it's like the idea of me leaving him at daycare or with a no, because a problem could have come up at any moment. Like, if he suddenly had problems breathing,
right?
I don't know that they would know what to do. I don't know that I would have known what to do, but at least I'm with him.
Right.
So to know that there's a life-threatening anything that's a possibility for your child will change your perspective really quickly.
Plus, until they can advocate for themselves, and that's how I really felt. I was a helicopter mom in preschool. It was like, okay, we up until that point, we had provided all the meals and snacks. Of course, right? But then you go to school where we were at a co-op, each parent would provide the daily snack or whatever. So I would, you know, sit on my phone and just wait for a reaction, just being paranoid because it was like a life and death thing. But luckily, I haven't experienced, knock on wood, any pushback because I know that there is. I know there's a lot of people who were inconveniencing and I get it. I do. Like, my kid is going to be the one that's going to prevent your peanut butter loving child to not have that for that day. And I wish I could take that away from that inconvenience for you. But until he could fend for himself or outgrow this, like we just have to keep all our kids safe.
Yeah, I think people can give up peanut butter sandwiches for the life of another child.
You'd be surprised, though.
I don't think people like really understand. Like, no, like your peanut butter sandwich could kill my child. Today's episode is brought to you by the Mom Self-Care Planner. As a mother, you take on a ton of roles. Mom, taxi driver, cook, housekeeper, activities coordinator, holiday planner, house manager, wife, lover, employee, caretaker, the list just goes on. And balancing all the roles that come along with motherhood can be overwhelming, and the next thing you know, there is no room on the to-do list for you. But mamas, we have got to prioritize our self-care, or we become burned out, stressed out, and completely overwhelmed. But that is not easy when you are a mama. It takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of work. And the Mom Self-Care Planner is designed to walk you through creating a personal plan for the daily practice of your self-care to support you in your mental, spiritual, social, physical, and emotional health. This will help you better manage your stress levels, feel less overwhelmed, be more resilient when those kiddos are driving you nuts, and leave you as a happier and healthier mom. So get your Mom Self-Care Planner today. Click on the link in our show notes. And as a listener, just type podcast into the discount code and you will get 10% off your purchase. Yeah. So that was part of the impetus of you deciding to be home and finding a way to have an income while you're still at home with your kids. But, and I know for myself, because I tried to work through having children, but after the second one, it just didn't work for us anymore. And giving that up was really difficult for me.
Which part? The income or just adulting?
Adulting. Like having, my job was a huge part of who I was, because it was dealing with dance and I had danced all my life, and all of a sudden, poof.
Yeah,
that part of me is gone, and I loved my work, and I was really good at my work.
You identified,
yeah, and it was a huge part of who I was, mm-hmm. and my every day. And even I got my accolades there, wow. Like great job. We want to do this with you.
Wow.
And when that goes away, I think you kind of lose a piece of yourself. And I'm wondering, did you feel that, or were you just ready to walk away from it all?
I was opposite. I know. You have pharmacists. I was like, what? I could find something else. And I can really appreciate what you say for that, because even in motherhood, we do lose everything. Mm-hmm. It's a reset. It's a re-pivot. It's recalibrating our bank account, our body, our relationship, our marriage. Like, what do we not have to re-look at, right? But for me, when I met my husband, he loved his job. He absolutely loved his job. So when I said I hated my job, he was like, we got to get you out.
Oh, you know, good. So he understood.
He was very sympathetic with that. However, I will say that where we are now, because my income, there still is a big delta between what I used to make steadily and my income now, I think that that does provide a hardship in a marriage, because mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, after you have kids, you have these expenses and you want to keep up with the same lifestyle. Yet when the mom is the main care provider, there's only so many hours in the day, right?
Yeah.
And there's just different factors in it. But to answer your question, it wasn't a big hardship, because when I was talking to you about how I feel like my career was chosen for me versus mm-hmm. what I would have wanted. And what I would have wanted, I would have been a teacher or a social worker. And yeah. that was on the horizon. My parents knew that. And they're like, that's great. And that's fine. And that's respectable. But we have a family pharmacy. And out of 7 kids, no one became a pharmacist.
Landed on me.
But it got me out of the house. I lived at home during college. And my parents were super strict. I mean, I'm telling you, I had to be home at 7 o'clock to make rice. And that was their leash. And so that was a way out. If I really looked at it, you know, why did I concede to that? Because I really wanted freedom. I felt like that, one, I knew it would make them happy. And look, having a pharmacist salary wasn't bad. But the deal at the time was, okay, I'm going to get my doctorate. I'll work a few years and I'm out. But I wasn't, because then it was just the grind, right? Mm-hmm. It was just like, well, now I'm used to this nice income and so forth. And the photography thing happened, and so the photography thing was just kind of like a side, like I've got shopping money. But then when it came time to really look at what I could do, I fell in love with documenting mothers. Mm-hmm. You know, I really wanted to empower moms and tell that story. So it was really much a win-win for me, not on our bank account, but for me it was. And so I think it's even now, I think my family's so funny. So out of 7, 4 became physicians and 2 can't stand the sight of blood. And I think to this day, they don't really consider me as a photographer as you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
My sister-in-law literally a couple weeks ago was like, oh, you have strangers? You're taking pictures of strangers? Because I think they just think that like it's somebody's cousin or like I couldn't possibly, you know, have my own profile and portfolio because they just see me as, you know, the pharmacist and just side hustle kind of thing. So I don't have that same yearning as you do in that sense. Mm-hmm. But if you told me I had to go back to a 9-to-5 corporate, then I would absolutely miss being in the state of entrepreneurship and creation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That is what I identify with now.
Okay.
For sure.
And you've really like taken the photography and the idea of you working with women and mothers and expanded way beyond that. What was the impetus? Well, what's the work that you do and what was the impetus behind that? We do a lot of the same work.
I had a photo shoot that was the most empowering that I ever had. And that stems from a relationship before my husband, and he knows the story, so it's not like, you're going to talk about my ex-boyfriend. But before him, I was engaged to a French fella, and we had met in Paris, like French, uh-huh. You know. And he called off the wedding, and before the wedding was going to happen, I had scheduled a boudoir session mm-hmm. as a gift for him, you know, like sexy photos. And so he calls off the wedding. I'm like, holy cow, I don't need these photos anymore. So I called up the studio and I said, can I please get a refund? Because I had put in a pretty good down payment for this studio in San Diego. And they said, no, you just have to come in. And I had my girlfriends talk me into it. They're like, just go for yourself. You know, these photos are meant to happen and whatnot. And I went by myself and I brought like sweaters and jeans. And, you know, I just had my hair and makeup done. And to this day, those are the most powerful photos of me because it was for me. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with anyone. And the photographer just treated this whole celebration. I had champagne. They had like my name when I pulled up. And it was just this really fun experience. And in that moment, I said, this is what's missing in the photography business. Because if you're not a bride and if you're not a mom with a belly,
mm-hmm.
you'll never be photographed. And so that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to open a studio that would celebrate women in whatever stage, whatever milestone, whether you're single and ready to mingle, you're newly divorced, you're cancer-free, whatever. So I started that, and that was the studio that I had. And then 2 weeks later, I leased that studio, and 2 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. So that was our strategy. I was going to, we got married. We got pregnant 4 months after we got married, a little sooner than we expected.
Mm-hmm.
I just had like the out to start this whole women's empowerment rah-rah thing. But looking at that point, 13 years of medical and all that, I said, I can't go per diem at this point. I have mm-hmm. to continue working because of the upcoming delivery. So that's what I did. I had to kind of press the brakes on that, took it as a loss. It was in Culver City. Do you know where like Tito's Tacos?
Mm, yeah.
So the studio didn't work out the way that I planned it. But then once I became a mom, I still had that piece of wanting to empower women, but now with mothers, because I just found how much women hated to be in front of the camera and how much beauty that I saw in mothers holding their child as an older mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I also felt like that was something that I knew that I loved. And so that was what I started. Then I pivoted to like mommy and me photography. And then as I became more in that entrepreneurial space, then I'm like, oh, I want to, you know, target women who have their own brand and their business and their lifestyle. But all females. The guys. I take headshots of men, but you won't see it on the internet. But I really feel like, you know, women, if you have a desire to make an impact and you have a message and it could help someone else, mm-hmm. then I'm all for it. Like, let me help you tell your story with your photos. And yeah, that's kind of where it's lent itself today. Yeah. I don't do any weddings anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're also working with women to help them through that entrepreneurship
mm-hmm.
piece and to encourage them and inform them. Is that your? I know you have a podcast also.
Yes.
Is that part of your podcast or And yes, you have Avenue Mama where you do events.
Yeah.
So I've missed the last one. I wanted to go so badly.
Yes, no, there will be more events. So that came about. So I have my Annie Vovan lifestyle photography business. And when we had my daughter, we were experiencing this crazy 2017. And so in that year in itself, my dad was starting to be on his decline of health. And so we were really asking our nanny at the time to work a lot for us. And she was somebody that she was like my rock. And mm-hmm. she was somebody that I literally met at a park, just somebody I connected with. It was one of those kismet things. Like I just really, like I went to her because she was taking care of another kid. And I said, is there anyone like you that you know that's looking for work? Because I'm moving, I'm like 40 weeks pregnant. I moved to Manhattan Beach. And she's like, well, I'm available because he's starting school. So
that was serendipity.
It was very much. And so at the time, so my daughter was less than a year, I want to say. So over a year, sorry. And then my dad was on his health decline. My nanny was working a lot for us. Then while my dad was in the ICU, my father-in-law passes away. Okay, over the holidays, he passed away very quickly. He had a massive hemorrhagic stroke, and he passed away over 3 days, right?
Wow.
My dad ended up 6 months in before he passed away. But in between that, our nanny passed away, if you could believe that.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was around the holidays, and I'm like, it was such a dark time because here we are, you know, two young kids, and my dad was on, my dad, the pediatrician, and it's so true, doctors make the worst patients,
yes.
right? And now that I've told you, four of my siblings are physicians, and that whole part of the decline of my dad's health and all these different points of pain, it was really traumatic. It pulled our family apart.
Mm-hmm.
It felt really hard. I felt very alone in this, even though I'm one of seven, you know, it was really hard because I don't know how we would have managed this if my dad was more coherent. He mm-hmm. ended up having some brain defects. So we had to base a lot of what we thought he wanted. So then you have seven different opinions. Anyway, so that's happening. My father-in-law passes away. It's the holidays, and at that point, I become very sentimental. I become very appreciative of the friends that kind of check up on me, because that's a lot, too,
yeah.
people
yeah.
passing away. And I wasn't really a big fan of text messaging. For some reason, I was very much into, like, hearing people's voices. So my nanny, we saw her. It was December 23rd. She, you know, had been working overtime. She also worked at Smart and Final. She was just our rock. She's like, see you after the holidays. Hugs, give, you know, she gives the kids gifts, and I don't hear from her. I call her, and she's, you know, she calls me, and she says her neck hurts, and she can't make it in, you know, in a few days. I'm like, take your time. I'm like thinking you pulled her shoulder, like something.
Mm-hmm.
A few days later, I call her. She sounds out of it. She's like, I got to go back to the doctor. My neck is just killing me. And I'm like, sure, Miranda, just whatever you need. And then 2 days after that, I thought it was odd that I didn't hear from her. And when I called her, it was her son that answered. And it said she had fallen into a coma. She had picked up meningitis and she was on a ventilator. And it was just horrific, thinking this was my person, you know?
Yeah.
And shortly, I remember I found out she passed on the day of my father-in-law's funeral.
Good
and
grief.
It was just, yeah, it really was a time where, you know, like when one person dies, it kind of wakes you up. Like, what is my life all about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your parent passes, you think about your legacy or their legacy. And I remember going to my dad that day, and I was just like, at just a loss, a total loss. And so that is where I started to talk about the other side of motherhood, the
mm-hmm.
not so pretty or Instagrammable side, the pain, like. And I started thinking about her. I'm like, she's 46 years old, leaving behind a 21-year-old who didn't want to travel because she had her son's laundry to do. She didn't, you know, find love again because she wanted him to go off to medical school. And that's when I just was like, what are my true gifts? And what is it? What is my legacy? And what can I do at this point in my life? I felt like it was a defining moment. Like, she had passed, and in her I guess in her memory, I just decided I don't want any mom to ever hold back on her life anymore.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You cannot, you do not have the following year, you do not have, you know, any guarantees. And so it started off very organically. I had workshops on self-compassion and body positivity. And then the more that I really, really thought about what I wanted to do in my voice was I really want moms to get out of their own way and really have that financial freedom, because it was, like I mentioned, like it was really, it still is a hardship when the money changes once mm-hmm. you become a mom, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much of that. And so now that I'm coming out of that, I really want moms to feel like they can create, whether it's something of their own or learning a trade like being a Pinterest expert or a podcast VA, they can do something for themselves to have the stability for the household. So that's what Avenue Mama has become. And so now I've gone through 3 or 4 rounds of my fire tribe, where I honestly just light a fire under your ass. I'm like, what is it that you want to do?
I love that.
And if, you know, and I always start off with, if I give you all the resources, all the energy, all the time, everything, I waved a magic wand, what is it that lights you up? That also is the cross section of solving someone's problem, as well as that person willing to pay for the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the organic basis of what the women who come to me are looking to help. Because I see you at your finish line as a woman, as a person in business. And two, since I built my photography business, I've been in that space as, you know, starting marketing from, you know, Craigslist, really.
Yeah.
Learning to be able to, you know, secure all these shoots. So I feel like there's that. And then I have my corporate experience, where I have 10 years of corporate management, so I can really help in the group dynamic, because it's a group coaching program.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I kind of bridge it all together. So yeah, I think moms really deserve a chance to be reborn again, because they've given birth. God, that's beautiful.
It's perfect. It's so true. It's like you have to shed this skin.
Right.
And you're still who you are, but you have to grow into this whole new person. And
it's
so, like, I can't even find all the words to say. Like, I felt like for so many years, because I was having kids back to back, I was just in this haze of motherhood. And
fog.
Yeah, and it's like you can't really see straight, and the kids are your priority, and even the husband falls off to the side.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I looked up and I was like, what in the world is going on? Like, I have lost myself somewhere in here and I don't even know who I am anymore.
Yeah.
And that was my kind of wakening up of like, whoa, what happened to me?
Yeah.
In all of this.
Yeah. And you get to help women define and go back to her roots and really give people the chance to listen to other people's stories and their rebirth, which I think is amazing. So
yeah, and I want to like encourage other people, to women, to wake up. Like, your life is also ticking away, and you don't have to give up everything to be there for your children. You can also prioritize yourself.
Yeah, and there's no guilt in that. And so my motto with Avenue Mama is just unapologetically, we design a life we love, and that's it, you know. And the guilt has to go, because it doesn't serve anyone, doesn't serve your kids, doesn't serve you. And having that space for your own self-care, and self-care I know is like a buzzword, but to me, self-care is really looking at what's not working and putting time and effort in that. Like, I wanted to start a podcast probably a year earlier than I did, but I realized that I needed to put effort into my marriage, into my finances, because that's the true self-care.
Yeah.
And those are not fun or sexy or Instagrammable things that you would rather spend time on. But that is what my hope is with Avenue Mamas, to be like, okay, so things have changed, but let's own it.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do now about it? You got to take steps, right? So that's the goal.
That's funny. I do the self-care Sundays on Instagram, and I was just talking about how self-care is not always comfortable. Self-care is often the thing that you don't want to do, the thing that you're avoiding, but it's going to improve your life overall.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of self-care, what would you say are some of the things that you do to care for yourself, prioritize yourself? And not the typical spa or get your nails done.
Yeah, but yeah, that's consumer self-care. And there's a need, you know, there's need to have consumer self-care. So in that whole process of grieving and whatnot, I had a really good friend just kind of blaze a trail in the self-care space for me, my friend Danica Breisha. And I watched her really just take ownership of her life. And I asked her, like, how'd you do that? Mm-hmm. You know, what did you do? She's not a mom. And so I kind of taken her version, but I scaled it back because moms have different abilities to, you know, spend that hour in the morning the way she's able to. However, I really commit to having a morning routine. And I never had that before. I'm a night owl through and through. Like midnight, I'm still that way. It doesn't serve me. But every day, I really go to a place of gratitude and affirmations. And I write out what I copied from Danica, like a bio from the future, probably like once a week. Mm-hmm. So I really step into the person that is already doing what I want and having the things that I want or the lifestyle that I want. So I do that for self-care. I always make sure I schedule joy, which is something I picked up from Rachel Hollis, like making sure you schedule joy. So I have always scheduled like girls' night outs, date nights. I schedule fun things with my kids. I don't leave things to chance.
You can't.
I just don't. Yeah, I just don't let life happen to me. I just have to be more proactive about it. So for your listeners, I would say if you don't have a morning routine, I highly recommend it. I started off by reading The Miracle Morning.
That's what started it for me too. Two years ago.
Yeah. Are you keeping up with it?
I am. It ebbs and flows, right. But for the most part, yeah. And it has changed like what that looks like. Cause right now I've been really on getting my weight back together and working out. And so every morning before everybody wakes up, I go do like an hour workout and then I come home. I read a little before I wake everybody up. So it's changed, which I always have learned that self-care is something that's forever changing. But morning routine literally changed my life.
Yeah,
it really did.
Like jump on the bandwagon if you haven't. Yes. So mine would be water, doing the gratitude affirmation, only figuring out three things that I want to do today and really being clear that they're either moving the needle in my personal life or my professional life. And then I read for 5 minutes, just brain food, just to kind of just check out mentally. And I now have got my kids to really leave me alone.
Yes, you have to train them.
I do. And even this morning, I even got really upset because I'm like, you know, mom needs the 10 minutes, you know? And so for those of you listening who don't have that, I'll always have to share my friend Stephanie, who keeps her journal in the bathroom. And she just says she has to have a long bathroom break. And her husband will know. And I'm sorry if he's listening. It might not be very possible. But that's how she gets her five-minute journaling in to this day. She has two young kids. That's how she's going to do it. And hey, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do.
That's where my books are, on the back of my toilet.
I have no shame in saying, you know what, Daniel Tiger's on TV. My kids are watching it. I get the 15 minutes. So be it. I'm way more adjusted to them. I can take on the day better. I'm less frazzled. And when I don't do it, it shows.
Yeah. It's funny. I was telling my husband this morning because I took the day off from working out. And I was like, this is crazy because I hate working out.
Oh, do you?
I'm not a fan of working out because I was a dancer all my life. Yeah. So I never had to.
Gotcha.
But this morning I was like, I feel kind of weird that I haven't worked out. Like I didn't get that gush of hormones and adrenaline that I get from it to start the day now. So it's gotten to be part of my habit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because before kids, I've never been a planner. Although I'm a trained strategic planner. So I can organize people and work with people to create plans. But in my everyday personal life, mm-hmm. I hated planning until I had kids. Mm-hmm. And you're right. You can you cannot leave it to chance because it's never going to happen.
Yeah. And I do. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I just know it's far better. Just like with meal prepping. It's like you don't want to do it. But is it just amazing when you already have the food there?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you get home and you're like, okay, I know what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
It's life-saving.
For sure. For sure. I'm always looking at time hacks, too.
Yeah, I've become so much more strategic with my time with each kid. Because the time gets less and less. So with each kid, I'm like, oh, this is going to have to change again.
Yeah. Yesterday I posted about Instacart or Amazon Fresh and how that's a lifesaver for mompreneurs.
Oh, yeah.
And I had this one lady write back and say, well, going to the market is educational for the family and all that. And I said, that's great if you feel like that's serving you. But I know for me, there's only certain income producing hours in the day because I only have part-time childcare. So I'd rather pay that monthly fee and give myself the presence of my children versus schlepping them around to the grocery store, buying stuff we don't need, putting out fights, and then, you know, all that stuff.
And then you get home and you're too exhausted to cook anyway after the whole bit.
So time hacks are really important for sure.
What would you say is one of the things that you have learned in motherhood that has changed you since having kids?
I think it is to never assume somebody's story and not to judge. And I can say that because I used to totally judge.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we have, my kids are one of 15 grandkids on both sides. So there's plenty of nieces and nephews around growing up, right? And I would judge. Or I'd be out in the street and I would judge. I remember one of the things that come to my mind is I remember, you know, toddlers sitting in their stroller and eating potato chips. And I'll be like, ah, it's terrible, mom. Well, cut to my child being allergic to everything. And guess what? Potato chips are safe. I'm like, yes. And they're
something
fat. And he's not on the chart for weight. So I will give him all the fat and the bacon. The doctor says, do whatever you need to for the calories. And that was one of those things where I'm like, who, you know, I shouldn't have judged. And so that's where we don't know someone's story.
Yeah.
We never know someone's story.
It's so, so true. And when you start judging, motherhood has a very funny way of keeping you in check.
Yes, so. Yes, yeah. No.
Well, thank you so much.
Gosh, of course. Thank you. What a treat.
Story is super interesting. I could probably talk on for hours and hours and hours, but now Spencer's like, it's time for me to go outside.
We got some photos to
shoot. Yes, we are now going to do photos, which I have not. Well, we did some in Austin, but I have not. I don't know the last time I did photos of myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is a treat. I am ready.
Yeah.
Let's get started on that.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you again for joining me for this conversation on the Mom Forum. And I hope that you were able to relate to some part of this story. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on The Mom Forum.